And now, it's Media One Radio Group's local public affairs radio program, Community Spotlight. We're asking the questions you want the answers to.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Community Spotlight, the Media One Radio Group's weekly public affairs program. I'm News Director Terry Frank. This weekend, we'll talk 2022 budget, moving ahead with use of the American Rescue Plan funding for the city, and other matters as time allows with Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist. And first off, Eddie, welcome back to the program. Great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Terry.
Eddie, you presented your $38.9 million budget proposal last week for 2022. It does include a slight increase in the tax levy, but no increase in the tax rate. What kind of challenges initially did you face in putting this spending plan together?
So I want to be very clear that, you know, the city's position really hasn't changed in terms of finances, except for the fact we have an increase in the tax levy. We have an increase in growth and property values across the city, which we have noticed a really great trend as we presented the 2022 fiscal budget. We're really excited about that, but I want to be clear that the costs have risen. Payroll costs continue to rise. Health insurance and other costs continue to rise. Those things have stayed the same. What has really saved us this year, however, is the American Rescue Plan funds, which allow us to pay for and maintain projects that we really haven't been able to do in probably decades. So it's a really unique thing. But when you're asking what challenges came into play, we said, how do we look at modernizing the city? How do we look at modernizing our workforce, focusing on diversity, inclusion, equity, focusing on creating succession planning for our departments, and to look at the future? And that was a huge challenge because you have a limited amount of resources and you're trying to move the pieces on the chessboard as you develop what you want the city to be.
This proposal, as you mentioned, does include about $3 million from the lost revenue category of the American Rescue Plan. What specifically is that money being used for, or is it divvied up in a number of places?
So it's divvied up in a number of places, all kind of outlined in our executive budget. Some of it's used, a majority of it is used for capital projects, well over 40 capital projects. To give you an estimation of where we normally land with these projects, we do maybe about 10 a year in the last several budgets for major capital. So to fund over 40 capital projects is a really big thing. Some of the funding also goes towards some new positions within the city, much needed positions that focus on succession planning and modernization. And a good chunk of the funding also goes to cybersecurity and investments in our technology as a city. How do we make it more accessible to our citizens? How do we ensure that we prevent cyber attacks and cyber intrusion, which we're seeing more and more of? And how do we just really try to, you know, modernize our workforce?
Now, I know there are seven positions that have been added to the budget. That's already gotten some pushback in the local newspaper. How necessary are they? And talk a little bit about this succession planning, because it brings to mind possible retirements down the road.
Yeah, we're always looking at that, right? We have a workforce that continues to age, right? You can't stop that process, but we do want to start to plan for it. So some of the things that we've proposed is an assistant public works director, in recognizing that we will eventually have a retirement in that role. Being able to really look at, you know, what should our departments start to be as they go forward? Do we have others that need to be replaced? Do we have others that need to start to look at additional functions? When you talk about some of the roles, some of them are really practical. We've been talking about adding laborers in our parks department. We're spending over $1 million in parks renovations as authorized by the American Rescue Plan Act and more. So being able to add that. We've added more parkland and more park area over the last decade than ever before, but have actually not increased any staff or had any type of change in staff. In many cases, we just let staff go as they retired. right?
Right.
The other positions we're looking at include a full-time systems analyst for our IT department. For a city of our size, with over 250 workers just on the city side, not including the BPU, we only have an IT staff of two, and the IT needs continue to grow, especially in our police department, as well as our other departments as we start to modernize our systems. What a lot of people don't know, Terry, is that we have a full kind of data backend. So we're now using data as people call into the city or tell us about issues to try to target areas that might need a pothole filled or a street fixed in advance. So instead of just kind of waiting as a break and fix, we're trying to be more proactive with our data, and that takes technology to use.
One employee contract is in place now for next year and a couple of years into the future. How much does this budget take into account the fact that you do have some contracts yet to be resolved?
Yeah, we do try to build in some ability to manage potential raises for the budget. We build it in a little bit, not a lot, but we recognize that every contract actually is up for our collective bargaining agreements in the city. So we're trying to manage that. We put in a little bit of padding, but we also try to account for retirements and other things. I will note that we also proposed adding in the ombudsman, which is also our director of human resources, diversity and inclusion for the city. We've combined that with our corporation counsel's office for many years, and we're getting to a point now where we want to ensure that we have a diverse workforce. And in order to do that, we need someone to help us manage our HR while our attorney's office continues to remain swamped doing a lot of other things for the city.
Absolutely. I want to remind everybody you're listening to Community Spotlight here on the 6 Media One radio group stations. I'm News Director Terry Frank. Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist is my guest this week. Eddie, I did want to wrap up a couple of things regarding the budget. You did project more sales tax revenues and mentioned that if the city opts into allowing marijuana sales in dispensaries, it could mean another $700,000 to $1 million in sales tax revenues. I know that you said that's a conservative amount, but do you really believe it's attainable?
I do, Terry. I really do. As you mentioned, the sales tax has been up tremendously. We've planned just a modest sales tax increase, but we are continuing to see higher and higher numbers. We were discussing with the comptroller the other day whether that's due to potential inflation in the market or whether that's due to online sales, which have increased tremendously. Either way, we're seeing some record-breaking sales tax for this decade, and that's a really good thing. But as you noted, I don't want to discount the sale of cannabis, both for dispensaries and on-site consumption. When you look to see all of the communities around us that have opted out, you're now putting the cities of Jamestown and Dunkirk as really one of the only places where you can purchase those things. Under that sales tax sharing agreement for the state, of the 4% in local tax that you would pay on cannabis, as a reminder, the total tax is 13%, but 4% is local. That goes 1% to the county and 3% to the municipality. So when we say around $700,000 in the first year it's legalized, that's a very small conservative effort estimate, something our counterparts in Ithaca have been looking at. But that is a tremendous, tremendous increase to a budget. And when you look at everyone else around us opting out and we're the only ones, it could be even more.
Eddie, City Council is continuing discussion on the city's use of its $28 million in American Rescue Plan funding. How soon would you like a vote on that?
I mean, I would love for council to pass it right away because there are so many programs that we are losing time in trying to put out. Programs that help to stabilize neighborhoods, help our individuals rebuild their homes and structures, help to deal with mental health, housing, and community issues. All of those things are just held up. We can't do anything with that until our city council votes on a master plan. We're hoping that they're able to try to work on this this month and try to get a vote, but we're ready, willing, and able as soon as they vote to start rolling out programs. Our staff is eager. I think the community is eager to start to see those programs, and it's really just being held up by that at this point.
One issue raised by a member of the public at a recent council meeting was using more ARPA funding for public safety. I know that there are some public safety items in the budget, looking it over, for fire and police. How much is there, and did that criticism have any water, hold any water?
Well, I think there are a lot of communities that are spending funding on emergency personnel, right? Police, fire, and other things. But we've actually included it in our budget, a lot of the needs from our police and fire department. Granted, there are huge needs in terms of staffing for police and fire, and I recognize that. I don't necessarily think the recovery funds are the answer to that, because they're very limited funds for a short period of time.
I was going to say, can you even use it for that?
Well, there's a question, right? We're unsure on that. But even if we do, it would be for a very short period of time in which that funding would run out. However, there are needs that have already been addressed. I know that some members of the public were addressing needs of vests and patrol cars and walkie-talkies. All of those things have, in most cases, been budgeted for or using some type of line item and are already in the works. So we're excited to see that. I'd like to let the public know we're actually ahead of the curve on that, even though they brought it up. And we try to do these things sometimes quietly, but to let the public know we are working on them and make sure that our emergency personnel have the things they need to move forward.
We've got about 3 minutes left in the program, Eddie. I did want to ask if there is anything in the budget pertaining to the replacement of the Cathedral Oaks on West 3rd Street.
So there is funding set aside for that. Right now, we are doing a design phase to determine what we're going to do with the 3rd Street Rescape. So your listeners know, there's work to be done for burying utilities, there's work to be done on sidewalks, replacing trees. All of those things come together with many different community partners. So it is quite a large task. There is some funding put in there, but we'll pull that from other rescue plan funds and other areas as we move forward. But we are actively working on that. We're trying to figure out what the cost could be, what the design should look like. And we're excited to redesign that area.
Halloween is coming up, and the city has set trick-or-treat hours. There will be no Fun Fest again this year. Am I correct on that?
So right now there's no city-sponsored event. There's obviously still some concerns. First and foremost, no funds were budgeted in last year's budget for events for the city. In addition, there are so many other things going on. Trunk-or-treats with various churches and organizations where families can congregate in smaller groups. And we want to encourage our community to go to those different events and take part in those.
As we're talking here, I know that there were another large number of cases of COVID reported in the Jamestown 14701 zip code last week. How much concern is there still about the spread of COVID in the city? We are seeing some numbers going down.
We are seeing some numbers going down, which is great. There's always still a concern with the community, and we watch those numbers very closely and try to work with the county whenever there are issues or hotspots. But we have to just be diligent. I've said this all along, as a community, we need to be diligent. Community spread is happening, and with the variant, it is spreading at a much faster pace. We're seeing breakthrough cases. I cannot stress enough, we need people to get vaccinated. You must get vaccinated, right? There's no microchip. There's no tracker. You can track you more by your cell phones than anything else.
Yeah.
There's a lot of misconceptions on this. But the reality is there's a reason why we really don't see polio anymore, or measles, or mumps, right? It's because we've gotten our kids vaccinated. It's because we've done what we need to keep the community safe. And I really encourage everyone who can, who doesn't have a need or a medical condition that prevents it, to go get vaccinated, help the community. Let's try to move us forward so that we can get back to business.
All right. Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist, we appreciate the time as always.
Thanks so much, Terry.
That's been Community Spotlight for this week. I'm Terry Frank. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk with you again next week at the same time.